get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 155, man. We're one step closer to the playoffs. I think we like about three weeks to go, something around that, man. I'm not going to lie to y'all. March is probably the worst month of NBA basketball because it's just like, let's just get to the fucking playoffs. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things going on. But as usual, you guys, Scott and Dante, you know to follow us on Twitter and yes, Instagram, sir. At Barbershop Scott, at OctoberZonte. Subscribe to the Patreon if you're not subscribed already. Patreon.com/Barbershop Network. $5 Summer Sessions Package, $10 Barbershop All Access Package, and the $5 $7.99 Hallis Package. We got all that. And if you are a subscriber, that means you're watching us right now. We appreciate y'all, everything y'all been doing, supporting us. We've got a lot of new subscribers this month, so we fuck with y'all. A lot more exclusive shit coming on. We're going to start doing post-game shows, a whole nine. It's going to be – we got a whole bunch of stuff coming for y'all in 2022, man. But let's get into it. Of course, you follow Barbers Chernet on Twitter and Instagram, too, my last one, at Barbers Chernet. But what's going on, bro? What's been going on? You know,
another solid. Week. I'm solid, bro. I went got a chance to catch a Hawks game. I did not know Trey wasn't playing until I got there, but yeah. It was cool. So I got to see Sanchez, Ja Morant. He's a little banged up, and you know, a few parts of the game he actually sat down and got his knee iced up. But the Grizzlies, man, like even though they lost that game, like that's a nice young team.
Oh, they lost. I was detached from the NBA this up.
Yeah, no, they got smacked. They got smacked. Yeah, but I mean, you know how fluky the Hawks get. So I was
and Trey didn't play though.
Trey did not play.
He smacked. That's yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah, but it was good seeing Ja live. That was definitely a good game. But I'm chilling, bro. You know, really trying to see if the Hawks gonna make this play in. You know, see how that heads up. But other than that, I really can't complain. It's decent out here in the A right now.
Yeah, they about 4.5 games up on Washington, so I think they're in the clear. I think they're in the clear. I mean, I've been cool, man. I just took like a weekend to kind of like, you know, decompress. You know what I'm saying? I was holed up here in the Batcave. You know what I'm saying? I ain't go nowhere. I ain't really do shit. You know what I'm saying? I had my phone on Do Not Disturb for a great amount of the weekend. It's very peaceful. Very, very peaceful. And what I mean by Do Not Disturb, I mean I put it in the other room. I don't actually put my shit on Do Not Disturb because my mama might need something. And then, you know, if I don't answer, she's going to put out a fucking SWAT team on my ass. It's just, you know. Yeah. Anybody who has black mothers, they know.
She definitely going to hit that notify anyway. So, right. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Anybody who got black mothers, no. Just because I'm 33 does not mean she stops mothering. So I just I put my phone in the other room, check it a couple of hours. You know what I'm saying? I went over here. I was rewatching Daredevil. Shout out to ESPN. Shout out to Disney Plus. Putting the grown folk shit on there finally. You got to put like a parental lock on that bitch now.
They going crazy, G.
Which is fire. So I'm looking forward to Moon Knight. Of course, me and my brother Flo's will be doing Sitting with the Guys on that one, even though he's abandoned the Lakers Sitting with the Guys. But it's fine. It's fine. But, of course, me, Dante, will be debuting the new era of the He Gone podcast. It'll be me, Dante, the homie, Mikey. That will be dropping this Thursday.
Let's get it.
It'll be a bi-weekly podcast. Because it's baseball, you know what I'm saying? It's really, you don't need to do a weekly podcast.
162, bro. We got a lot of shit to do.
162. A lot of shit to do. So we're going to be talking about the White Sox inactivity, as we've been saying in the group chat. I've just accepted this. Just not going to happen. Like, you know, it is what it is. So we'll talk about all that on the pod this week. So check all that out, man. But let's get into it, man. A lot of stuff going on in the NBA. The Warriors, there's two teams that I feel like just can't get it right on the injury side. Of course, it's our beloved Chicago Bulls, and we will get into them disappointing motherfuckers later in the show. But the fucking Warriors, man, they finally got Draymond Green last week. I mean, just last week we were talking about Draymond coming back, how that was going to affect everything. And, nigga, they played one game. Steph got hurt in the game against the Celtics. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, whatever game it was, whatever day it was. And it was Marcus Smart going for a ball, fucked up Steph's leg. He has a fracture in his leg. They said that he should be back by the playoffs. He said, when he actually spoke to the media yesterday, he said, "I'm an optimist," which wasn't the most optimistic thing you want to hear from your franchise.
Yeah, nigga, that sounds terrible. But
it sounds terrible.
I mean, wait, so it is a fracture?
It's a fracture. The MRI said that really, you know, he's going to be out. For sure, he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. And they're hoping that he'll be back for the start of the playoffs. And I expect he'll probably will be back. The issue is he going to be back? How effective is he going to be?
No, you know, that's awful, bro.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on this, how it's going to affect them for the rest of the season and going to the playoffs?
I mean, we could see them lose a lot of games, but fortunately for the Warriors, you know, it's toward the end of the season when this happens. But, I mean, it's really, really unfortunate because, like you said, just a few days ago, we had everybody talking about, oh, you know, this is finally getting the big three back. And I was talking to one of my homies who's like one of the few real Warriors fans I know. And I was like, yeah, bro, honestly, if y'all can just play the rest of the regular season together healthy, you know what I'm saying, get into a rhythm, headed into the playoffs, the sky was the limit for the Warriors. And so to have Steph go down like that, or like a fluke play, I know Steve Kerr called it a dangerous play. He only called it a dangerous play because he dove into Steph. Right. He dove into anybody else, nobody gives a fuck. But because he ended up hurting Steph Curry, you know, now it's a dangerous play, which I don't think it was. That's just Marcus Smart being Marcus Smart. And so to have a play like that really put a question mark on your season, because now it's like, when he comes back, like you said, what Steph are we going to get? Are you getting that 100% Steph? We know the history of injuries with his ankle, so, you know, compounding the injuries to that same area, you know what I'm saying? How's that going to affect bro going forward? Not to say like he's going to have a major decline or anything stupid like that,
right?
But it's going to be interesting to see this season what Steph we get when he does come back.
Yeah, I agree with you. First of all, I understand why Steve Kerr was initially angry. I think that was more anger of his franchise star getting hurt. I don't think that was a dirty play whatsoever.
No, hell no.
I can't even just say it's Marcus Smart shit. It's regular NBA player shit. You're supposed to go for the fucking ball. Until you hear a whistle, you go for the ball.
Right, bro. Same
shit in football. Saying until you hear a whistle, nigga, go for the ball. You see that type of play happen multiple times in every NBA game every night. That's unfortunate. That his foot got caught up in it. It is what it is. I just didn't like how, you know, Steve Kerr said it, and I didn't like it. It was the way Draymond phrased it. It was unnecessary, or whatever the word was. And I get it. They're trying to protect the guy, but let's cut the shit. I don't think Marcus Smart is a dirty player. I think Marcus Smart is a guy anybody – I would love Marcus Smart on the Bulls. The Bulls probably could benefit from Marcus Smart that team right now. And I just think it was just regular-ass play, and it's just unfortunate that happened to the Warriors. But as far as long-term – I think that this kind of screws them from getting the second pick. I mean, second seed. I think Memphis will hold on to that. Memphis Memphis is a game and a half up on Golden State for the second seed, and Golden State's only up two on Utah as we record this right now on Monday. What's the 21st? The 21st of March.
Yeah.
So that can get a little dicey. They might, you know, because it's a difference having just Steph and Klay with no Draymond, but having Draymond and Klay with no Steph, that's a completely different
dynamic, bro. And like you just said, it's gonna be interesting to see how they try to beat teams. You're gonna need a lot of Jordan Poole. You're gonna the big man. I don't want to mess his name up, but the young Wiseman. Big man. Not Wiseman. Wiseman. He had a setback. He's done.
Setback. He's cooked. Yeah.
The other Kuminga. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a monster. So, you know, you need a lot of bro. You're going to need other players to really step up, because not having Steph Curry, you know, that's a completely different dynamic to not having a Draymond. And even though, you know, it's kind of like the complete opposite side of it. Because when you didn't have Draymond, it was a defensive thing, you know, not having him on the, even though, you know, we talk about the easy shots he gets, but he is just arguably he's one of the best defensive players of his era. So not having him on that side hurt them tremendously. And so not having one of the best scorers ever on offense is definitely going to be a problem going down the stretch when you're trying to hold on to this slim ass lead.
And I think it's going to be tough for them because, you know, and Klay is a great offensive guy, but Klay's been inconsistent, as we all expected. Me and you said on this podcast.
He played in 2 years.
Me and you said on this podcast, before he came back, when he came back, let's temper your expectations for Klay right now. He hasn't played. It's been 3 years, honestly. Like, last time he played was fucking 2019 finals. And 2019 finals was 3 years ago, but it feels like it was 10 with all the shit we've dealt with, not even with NBA, just in life. Everything we've gone through since that finals ended, it feels like so fucking long ago. So it's going to take a while for him to get into the guy he's getting to. And so even without Draymond, Steph could go out there and get a basket. It's very hard for Klay to get a basket by himself. So you're going to need guys to really step up in there, and that's going to be tough for them. And I think that they don't want to drop to a fourth seed, because even though I still think they'll win this series, you don't want to see Luka in the first round, my guy.
Oh.
You don't want to see Luka in the first round if you drop to the fourth seed.
Shit might get dark.
I mean, this is again, and I think the Spencer Dinwiddie trade was a great trade for Dallas. Like, they're able to get Porzingis, and I'm just so done with Porzingis. He's just all potential and nothing to back up. We gotta stop talking about Porzingis' potential.
I can't even say his potential. He's just, he's more of a what if. You know, him getting hurt really changed things because, that one injury, especially him being that big, has led to just other – it just compounded injuries. As he's gotten older. And so, like you said, it's always if he can stay healthy. And so, Porzingis is cool, but they definitely needed a Spencer Dinwiddie. I think Dinwiddie needed a change of scenery because it wasn't working in Washington.
Nope. And every time I think of Spencer Dinwiddie, I think about that 2017 Bulls team who had no fucking shooting and decided to get rid of one of the actual good shooters on the fucking roster. But another domino in the
guard packs.
In the guard packs era. But Spencer Dinwiddie has already paid off dividends. Had a game winner against Boston about a week ago. Had a buzzer beater against his former team, the Nets, couple days ago, where they came back from, I think it was like 20 points. And listen, the thing about Luka, even though the Mavericks aren't the deepest team, Luka took the fucking Clippers of 7 games last year with Kawhi and Paul George. Both of them was dogging them niggas. So if you're
the problem.
And one thing you know about Luka, ain't scared of you niggas, man. They already came back from 20 something in Golden State already this year. And he's very difficult to guard. And if you got a half-ass Steph Curry, that's not going to help you. So I still think they will win that series, but it's going to be way longer. You don't want to be a team who has championship aspirations in a 7-game series in the first round. You don't want that. So if it's going to be very tough for them to hold on to that 3 seed. I think 2nd seed is gone. They ain't worried about staying at 3rd seed and see if you can deal with a very, very inexperienced team in Minnesota. Or, Denver ain't going to be easy either. But, hoping something like that. Because you do not want to see Luka in the first round. So, I definitely think that's going to be something to watch. It's unfortunate. But, I feel like that's been the NBA the last 2 years. It's injuries.
Yeah, bro. And it's unfortunate because, we've been robbed of a lot of great matchups.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. We still got some good ones. And, when it comes down to the playoffs, you do get the cream of the crop. So, you get some of the best basketball. But when you think about the players that have missed significant time over these past, you probably say two, three years. It's crazy, bro.
It's tough. But also over the weekend, man, LeBron James passed up that convict Karl Malone in the all time scoring list. Man, he now has 36,947 points. He is about a little over 2,000 points away from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Hopefully he stays healthy. If he stays healthy over the next year, I think he will probably pass him sometime next season and will be the all-time leading scorer of all time, and which will be in his 20th season. How many seasons did Kareem play? 22? So, I think it's about 22.
Cap.
So
young cap.
A little lesser than that, which, I think – but the question I ask you, I just want to say this, and anybody, I always say this when we talk about LeBron, I think he's great. Do what Stephen A does. He's a great father, great philanthropist, all the other good shit. I think it's a great accomplishment. All that good shit. My question to you is, do you think that his individual accomplishments have been overshadowed by a Lakers poor record? Because I really haven't heard that much about it this weekend.
No, I don't know. Not at all. I think it's more so he has so many accolades and especially with this one, what really threw people off is that bullshit they did last month.
Right.
So had they not
points,
had they not done the combined point thing, then people would have looked at this and like, oh, okay, he's climbing the ladder, he's almost up to number one. But when you got that shit, it's like people are like, okay, another milestone, cool. Like they didn't stop the game or nothing. You feel me? Like they gone.
Did they stop? I think he got a standing ovation, but it wasn't a stop the game. I think it was when niggas at the free throw line or something. But
okay, that's cool. But yeah, no. I don't think it diminishes. I think you gonna say it diminishes because niggas LeBron.
No, it ain't nothing to do with it. Look, I can't even give a take about LeBron without niggas saying you don't like LeBron. I cannot like somebody and admit they're good. I would fucking spit on Aaron Rodgers, but I know he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all fucking time. But fucking look, I think this is why it's been overshadowed, because I do think if the Lakers were a better team, people would be talking about it more. Now I do think that what you said from like a month ago, because it threw a lot of niggas off. Like, if you're not actually paying attention to the game, you're like, oh, with the all-time point shit, kind of threw it off. But I feel like we heard way more about Steph Curry breaking that record than we did this. And this is a more important record than that.
But no, I think that's because everybody right now is saying Steph Curry changed basketball. So with him breaking the all-time three-point record, the man who, you know, they saying revolutionized this three-point shit, that's why they made a big deal about that.
Yeah, I get that, but this is a better record than that. Being all-time scorer is more important than three-point record, in my opinion.
No, yeah, definitely. But that's just because that was a Steph thing. That wasn't a
We were sitting here and the Lakers were like second in the West, I feel like this would be a way bigger thing. I think not only he broke it in the game, they lost. They lost to the fucking Wizards that night. Like, if I hadn't been looking at my phone, I probably wouldn't even know. That's just how kind of under the radar it fell. Now, I do think when he eventually does break Kareem record, that it will be.
Oh, yeah, as it should be.
That was a record that I didn't think was ever going to be broken. So, and I do think when it comes to legacies and things like that, which I hate bringing up that word, but one, LeBron's legacy will be he did it longer and better than anybody. You know, that's one thing. The one thing he can have over Jordan, you know, right? So he chases
longevity.
It's the longevity. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that played into Mike's longevity with him being a gambler and wanting to fucking retire for three fucking times. That's a lot to do with it, too. But when it comes to LeBron, he's going to always have that. So he might not have the championships. He might have, you know, the losses, things of that nature that people will bring up against him. But he can say, look, there's not one nigga who played as long as I did and fucking did it as great as I did forever. He's going to have, by the time he retires, he's probably going to have damn near every record there is to have.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? No, and it's going to be the point where it's like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's records are so fucking high. I will never say never because records are meant to be broken. But I don't think I'm going to be alive when somebody breaks Tom Brady's all-time pass record, especially when this motherfucker decided to come back. So he's going to push that bitch up again.
Only reason I think you'll see that is because they play such a pass happy league.
They
continue to do more and more.
Because
you got to think, Dan Marino was the only nigga from our childhood who was actually out there slinging that bitch. So I think like when it comes to like a lot of these all time records, the only record we probably may never see is the Lou Gehrig hit streak.
How many was Lou Gehrig, if you remember?
It was one of them 72 games or something crazy like that.
Oh yeah, that's never getting broken. That's fucking
crazy. It was 56 game. No, we can look. I'll look that shit up. But that's one of those.
I'm looking right. Tom Brady has 624 touchdowns passed right now. He's going to get that up again because he's playing this year. So you can probably add another 20-25 to that for this season, right? The closest one is Drew Brees, and he's about 70 behind him. So I'm thinking if you look at somebody who probably be close, who's a guy in this era who you think will probably contest? It'll probably be Mahomes, right? What's Pat's all time?
It's a lot of niggas. A 56 game history gets the longest, by the way.
Okay, that's it. Patrick Mahomes has thrown for 151 touchdowns, so he's about 500 behind Tom Brady. And the health plays a lot into it too. I know it's a more heavy passing league, but health is a huge fucking thing.
Tom missed the whole year though.
Huh?
Tom missed the whole year,
and he missed the whole fucking year. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Peyton is fucking. It's gonna. I don't think that's gonna be a long time.
Who's the closest active person?
The closest active person is Aaron Rodgers, and he's still about 200 behind. Aaron Rodgers got 449. Brady got 624.
Okay.
So he's the closest, and the closest other active player is your boy Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan got 367.
Okay.
So Stafford's got 323. So these are all the active guys. Russ got like 290. Russ is not catching that. So it's like that's gonna be very, very hard to do. So to veer back on topic, what LeBron is doing is incredible. I just think that I feel like he should have got more praise because this is some shit, you know. And even as a guy with me who I can't stand LeBron, but you gotta appreciate what he's doing for the game. That's all I'm saying. I feel like it should have been a big deal, no matter the fact they got the ass kicked by the Wizards or not. This is some shit that I feel like could be separate, but I also feel like you can correct me wrong. Dude, I kind of feel like, does it feel like the media is kind of getting sick of LeBron a little bit? Like, I was listening to a podcast this week, and Tim McMahon, by the way, I actually agree with this nigga. He called him LeBron one of the most shameless stat padders of all time. It's like the Lakers be down 20 points, and he'd be like, I'm finna go chase Kareem. Like, he played 40 minutes in a back-to-back last week, and they got blown out in both of them.
Yeah, no, I think this season has gotten really flagrant and people are realizing it. Like I said, like we've been saying on the pod, even grasping for attention with the the parades and all that other shit, yeah. Like trying to just get away from the fact that the Lakers are fucking terrible. And that's how Bron's been like, I'm gonna run my numbers up. Like, we all saw the photo of Russ looking at LeBron when LeBron is looking at the little stat sheet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Before he go back in the game. And they was losing that game. But yeah, I mean, the stat pattern has been ugly this year. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, what is he supposed to do? Like, just go sit down?
LeChase and Kareem is what they got. By the way, I'm not mad at him. I do the same shit. If we getting our ass kicked, nigga, I'm getting mine.
I'm still getting my numbers up. Like, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah. And so it's just weird with LeBron, because I feel like we're in an area where, like, the worst thing for LeBron isn't LeBron's fault. And this is nothing that I don't feel like LeBron did. And this is the biggest, I guess, like, you know, thing you come when it comes to all-time legacies. When somebody says he's not Michael Jordan, they act like it's the biggest fucking insult. When to me, if I got told, you don't never want to be number two. Let's just get this clear. You never want to be number two. But if I'm told I'm the second best basketball player of all time, I can live with that. I can live with that. Now, you know, is it, you know, that is this to me, in my personal opinion, of course, I'm biased. I'm from Chicago. I always say that we're biased. If you're under 30 and you're calling Michael Jordan the GOAT, I don't respect what you're saying. I don't. You, like, I'm 33 and I caught the tail end of Mike. So there's no way that you can sit up here and you're just going off what somebody else told you.
And like, people our age ain't being real about that either. Cause like you just said, we caught the tail end of Mike. So, and we lived in Chicago. So that's why we saw more Mike games than most in our era. So like, but like the whole, like when people ask me the best player you seen, like start to finish, is LeBron. And then like I said, Kobe's my favorite player, but it's like best player I've ever seen start to finish is LeBron James. You can't deny that.
Well, I'm always say Kobe Bryant because I'm just not ever.
Yeah. No, Kobe. No, Kobe's my number one. Kobe's my favorite player ever. But
I'll say this. I value winning. I really do. And I hate people. I value winning.
That's why Kobe's my number one.
That's why Kobe's my number one. Yeah. That's why.
When we go off resume, that's just like when I say, you know, Mike is the GOAT, but there's no player with a better argument for the GOAT than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Start to finish, his basketball resume is incredible. Is a fucking understatement.
Right.
Like,
I think when you do all-time list, I do two different ones. Yes. Top five I've seen and top five all-time. Top five all-time, LeBron's three. If we're doing top five all-time, I still got Kareem in there.
Yeah, pure resume. You got
pure resume.
You cannot put him up there.
But if let's say we eliminate Mike, niggas' careers who I've seen front to back, the reason I have Kobe over LeBron, I do think LeBron is a better individual player than Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
But I value winning. And people call it stat chase or ring, what's the word they call it? Ring chasing, but they call it I forgot whatever the thing where people say, well, you value rings too much. I'm gonna keep bringing up the Herm Edwards shit. You play to win the fucking game, bro.
Yeah,
yes, he's had finals. To me, that's why Kobe got five. He got five. That's why I got to put him on there.
But I think that also goes into account when we talk about the fact, like, winning is a team thing. Like,
100%.
That's a team thing. So, like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, Kobe's my number one favorite player. But when you go greatest we've ever seen start to finish, it's probably LeBron James. Like,
I still can't, because I value winning. I've seen LeBron fail too many times when it counted. And, you know, has he succeeded? Yes, he has. But when it comes to my life is on the line and I need a nigga to go out there and win the game for me. Outside of Michael Jordan, I'm going to Kobe.
Yeah, no.
I'm taking Kobe.
Absolutely.
It is what it is. And there's always, and we can say about stains, look, the 2007 New England Patriots is probably the best football team we've ever seen. But they didn't win a big game. So it don't fucking matter. It don't fucking matter. Like,
Same
thing with the Warriors. It don't fucking matter about 73-9. None of that shit cares. It matters. 72-10 to me is still the number one because they completed the job. I got a t-shirt from the 96 season that says, it don't mean a thing without the ring. So 73-9 don't matter. No matter how many times, you know, how many championships LeBron won after, a lot of niggas, including myself, are going to always hold 2011 against him. He said it his damn self when he was on the shop. And he said that, you know, that's something I know that we lost the series because I didn't do what I had to do. So we can sit up here and talk about, and these are barbershop arguments we can have. I know I'm going off on a tangent about this, but my overall point is actually pro LeBron. This needs to be celebrated more, in my personal opinion. I feel like this should be celebrated more than what the fuck Steph did with that 3-point. And that's no disrespect to Steph. but all time, that's a lot of damn points, bro. And he's going to pass Kareem next year. It's not a matter of if. LeBron is going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar next year, and that's got to be something I do feel will be celebrated a lot like it should. So, but one last thing with LeBron. LeBron said this on the show, not on the shop, when he said that he feels like people, when people, he gets mad when people don't consider him a scorer. I still don't consider him a scorer. Not that he can't score, but when I think of scorers, I don't think about LeBron.
Score relates to your skill set on the offensive end of the floor. We all know that.
Like you getting buckets.
When people say Melo's a scorer, because Melo can give you a bucket from any level on the court. Like, yeah. Melo has a move. He has bag. He has a bag. Like, LeBron has like three moves he do. Like, they efficient. It works for him, but he's not a scorer. He's a scorer. He is a scorer. Like, don't get me wrong, but
he can score.
But yeah, not right. A scorer, but being opinion. Known as a scorer, that's silly to me, because for years, and Kendrick Perkins pointed it out, you said you didn't want to be known as a scorer, bro. You're more than that. Like, so you've been more than that. So it's just, you're a great player who also scores. Like, you're a great all around player. Just leave it at that, bro.
Just
like,
accept that.
Yeah. All this extra shit. Like, this is where you just talked about people being tired of it. It's like, we get you want to control your narrative and all of that, but.
Bro, my issue with LeBron, and I can't even really blame LeBron too, because if I was a kid, if I was a dude who's on the cover of Sports Illustrated at age 17, I think it's something you gotta, and LeBron wasn't a rich kid, but you know how some rich kids are just, they don't have people skills because they've been in the spotlight since forever. LeBron has been in the spotlight forever. He didn't have any brothers or sisters, so he's gonna be a little, when somebody been kissing your ass since you was 17, you're gonna be a little. So it's like, I think LeBron cold, but I think he's lame too. that's anybody from Chicago, we don't do lame shit. We just don't. So that's just the overall thing with nigga. That. Yeah, I don't know the nigga. He might be cool, but he gives off lame nigga energy. He might be cool nigga. I might meet LeBron. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry about everything I've said about you.
Now, because I really think like what you see is so put together. That's not LeBron, ain't a bad thing. It's okay. Because this is an athlete. You know, we always say, you know, whether they like it or not, they role models. He's accepted the fact that he's a role model and he's going to put forth his best image.
And I do think LeBron's role. I think LeBron's a legitimate good guy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I don't think you heard anybody say, you've heard people say Michael Jordan's a dick or Kobe Bryant's a dick. Like, the funny shit about Kobe Ibrahim was that nigga Derek Fisher said, we were friends. I've never been to his house. Like, that's the funniest shit. Like, he the coolest thing. He's never been to Kobe's house. Never in the Kobe house. Like, that type of shit, like, you never hear that about. Like, everybody said LeBron's a cool guy. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why I feel about that. But let's get off LeBron. Let's talk about our beloved Bulls, man. If anybody listened to last week's Third Pick podcast, me and Mariano are pretty fed the fuck up. So, as we're recording this tonight, the Bulls have a massive game against the Toronto Raptors at the United Center, man. As of right now, they're the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. They're half game over Cleveland. Game and a half over Toronto, and they're two behind Boston. Now, I think you can pretty much wrap that up. So I think we can forget about them getting home court in the first round with like 11 games left. Tonight they got a win because Toronto has won like 5 or 6. They got a big win on Sunday night against Philly. And they're coming, man. They're coming right now. And the Bulls are getting Patrick Williams back tonight. And it's probably the healthiest they're going to be for the rest of the season. Of course, we did talk about this last week, but the Lonzo update is not good. He's barely running, and they're thinking about shutting him down. So I'm personally not expecting Lonzo. If he does come back, then I don't really know what you're going to get from him. So the Bulls are probably as healthy as they're going to get right now. And I'm keep telling Bulls fans, when it comes to Patrick Williams, I know a lot of people are excited. Of course, you think he's the next Trevor Ariza. I have much higher hopes for this young man. And I'm going to stay on it. I'm going to stay on it. And I will say, if and when he becomes what I think he will be, I'm going to take a massive rant, by the way. So hopefully a year from now, I'll be able to let that go. But as far as the rest of this season, defend, rebound, and be aggressive. That's all I need him to do. I'm not expecting too much from a kid who ain't played since fucking Halloween. It's been that fucking long. So my question to you is, with this game, if they lose this game today, both Cleveland and Toronto will be a half game with them like 10 left to play. And then they'll be looking at a first play-in game against the Brooklyn Nets. And for some people who are confused by the play-in rules, They will play Brooklyn at home in a play. If they lose, it does not mean they're eliminated. They will host the winner of, right now, it's Charlotte and Atlanta, which they should be able to beat them, and they will be the eighth seed. So it's not like they lose to Brooklyn and then it's over. But my question to you is, if the Bulls lose this game tonight and eventually do get in the play-in, is this season a disappointment to you?
No, just off the strength that they've strictly fallen because of injuries. Like, it's not, had this been the full healthy team and they failed to fuck off and like just fell off a cliff defensively and everything, and I would have been like, damn, like, you know, thought we had something, but we didn't. But no, off the strength that most of this shit has been due to injury, I wouldn't call it a disappointment. Like, and then also because, like we said at the beginning of the season, signing on these players, making these moves was to show Zach that you're serious about winning. Yeah. And so you show him that, and you know, with people being injured right now, I couldn't call it a disappointment. Like, do I think they, you know, and like I said, we had them around four and said, you know, if they overachieve, they could get higher. We had them at four or five or whatever. But, you know, with the injuries knocking them off, I can't hold that against them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I know a lot of, I get into a lot of people on Bulls Twitter because they get mad when I keep bringing up injuries. Like, excuse, other players are injured. I'm like, but you got to look at roster construction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Suns are built to be able to go through a little period without certain players. You know what I'm saying? They're built for that. And I think the biggest difference, I saw this over the weekend when they played Phoenix. I do think Zach LaVine is a more skilled, better player than Devin Booker. But here's the difference between the two. Devin Booker is a much smarter player than Zach LaVine. Like, his decision-making makes sense. Zach, and kudos to Zach. I don't want to go in on Zach because he's out there on one knee, bro.
Right.
He had 7 shot attempts on Friday. Anybody know Zach LaVine? That ain't Zach LaVine. Shooting the ball 7 times. So, obviously, that knee is bothering him. It's not going to get any better. He's going to get that shit cleaned up in the offseason. It is what it is. So, they're exactly where I had them before the season. I said 48 wins, 5th seed. That was my prediction. And I said at the beginning of the season, if they made the play-in, I'll be disappointed. But I wasn't expecting their whole team to be out. You know what I'm saying? These are Caruso and them. That's 2 fucking months, bro. That's a lot of fucking basketball. When you and they really haven't played well all calendar year. Like, take away DeMar's historic month. Like, Wilt Chamberlain type shit is the only thing that kept this team afloat. So the fact that they're even still here, I think, is a credit to just how this team was built. So I do think they will not make the play-in. I do think they will be in the top 6 somewhere in the South. I think they will find a way to get their shit together over these next, I think it's 12 games they got left. Me and Mariano, our prediction on Friday was like they'll finish the last 13 games 8-5. So I do think they got some road games, but these are some winnable games. Got the Wizards coming up. New York, you know what I'm saying? You got winnable games. And tonight against Toronto is a winnable fucking game. Toronto, on paper, you're a better team than them. Toronto is coming off a back-to-back. We don't know if Fred VanVleet is going to play tonight because he didn't play against Philly. If you can't beat them at home with the healthiest you've been all year and you know, them coming off a back-to-back, you don't deserve to be. You deserve being playing.
But
is that damn simple?
It's really that simple. Like, if you cannot win this game, and like, shout out to Scottie Barnes. So Scottie Barnes has been fucking hooping on both ends of the floor. Like, I saw a breakdown. Let me see. Like, I think I saved it about his just defensive versatility. The shit is insane. They said Scottie has spent 17% of his possessions guarding point guards, 16% against shooting guards, 21% against small forwards, 20% against power forwards, and 23% against centers.
That's crazy.
Like, we talk about, you know, modern day basketball players. That's Scottie Barnes. So shout out to bro. He's definitely doing this thing. But you have to win this game. You got to win this game to keep a little space between y'all, because, you know, down the stretch, you're not going to have. I think that the Zoe injury is really tough because
killed us.
Him being the Caruso injury as well, because you saw the switch as soon as Caruso, you know, came back, even though he's still not the same. You know, he says it's really just soreness, but, you know, it's rough without. You
can't expect Caruso to be full Caruso after being out for 2 months.
Not only be full Caruso, but be full Caruso and carry the bulk of the defensive load.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
It ain't going to work. It's just not. And so, I mean, like I said, it's more so unfortunate than anything. I wouldn't call it a disappointment.
Yeah, and I do feel like if they did drop to a play-in, I think they'll probably lose to Brooklyn. Who knows? Maybe they might surprise us and beat them for one fucking game. You really can't. Brooklyn is the most unpredictable team right now. You know, I don't think it'll be out of the realm of possibility for them to find a way to beat them at home, considering they have beat Brooklyn twice this year. Yeah. It was the KD Harden combination But yeah, you got KD, Kyrie. It's not like you. When we got our fucking shit pushed in, it was all three of them niggas.
Yeah.
It was all three of them winning.
They just took off in the fourth quarter.
Zach left the game like the second quarter. So I wouldn't say it's out the realm of possibility for them to win a play-in game against the Nets. But you don't want to put yourself in that situation. Even if they did lose that, I'm pretty sure they would beat fucking either Charlotte or Atlanta. If they can't do that, then nigga, I don't know what to tell you. But my question would be, I want to get a prediction out of you because me and Mariano did ours. I'm going to go over these last 13 games for you, and I want to see how you predict the Bulls to finish. Okay. So tonight against Toronto, who you got?
I got the Bulls.
Okay, so that's one right now. Tomorrow, Tuesday in Milwaukee.
I got the Bucks.
Okay. At New Orleans on Thursday.
I got the Bulls.
Okay. At Cleveland on Saturday against Cleveland.
You said Thursday, then they play Saturday?
Yeah, they play Saturday in Cleveland.
I got the Bulls.
Okay, so 3-1 right now. Then they go to the Garden on Monday against the Knicks.
I got the Bulls.
Okay. Then next Tuesday in Washington against the Wizards.
Next Tuesday in Washington against the Wizards. That's the game they fuck around and lose just on some bullshit. They'll lose that game.
Okay. Then they've got a 5-game homestand. They're at the crib against the Clippers. We don't know if Paul George, he's supposed to play last week. Now they don't know. It's kind of glim with them, but against the Clippers, which
you L. It's a L.
Okay. Yeah. So then you got the Heat at home.
L.
Okay, so now you got them at 4-4 right now. Then at home against Milwaukee, that's on ESPN.
L.
Okay, then at home against Boston.
L.
Okay, then home against Charlotte.
W.
And so then the last game is on the 10th in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, I'm gonna go L. Damn.
So you got to finish at 5-8. Yeah, duh. You got to finish 5-8, which means they would only. That's not good. That means they were only.
That is not good.
Wins.
That is not good.
Now, I'll say Toronto's schedule ain't good either. They like this, a lot of it's gonna come down to last day because Cleveland and Toronto's Cleveland schedule is mid, but Cleveland's still also mid. So they can lose some. I think we're not gonna know what seed these niggas are to literally the night of the 10th of April. I took the more positive spin. I got us finishing 8-5. I do think we can grab one of those tougher games because we're at home. So it's gonna be interesting to see. I think it's gonna be I'm not tripping about it. Like in years past, I'll probably be mad nervous about this game tonight. But I've given this season up to God. We got to look at it from how this season was just supposed to be year one. So I know a lot of you Bulls fans out there was playing in chair space in fucking Grant Park because y'all got too much dip on your chip in that 9-game win streak, and I told y'all don't do that. But you know, this is growing pains for them. I think eventually, even just getting to the playoffs, getting smacked by whoever they get smacked by, that's going to help them in the long run. You got to lose before you win. And I think the Bulls know how important this game is. Did you see that video of Billy Donovan bringing Mike Singletary in to talk to the team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, first of all, how many people in that room know who the fuck Mike Singletary is?
Probably like a solid 6 niggas knew who he was.
Exactly.
And so, like, shit like that. And, like, I know we love to tap into the Chicago legacy and all of that. You know, try to preach that to people who come here. But they employees, bro. So some of them probably felt it, but a lot of them was probably like, okay.
And also, right, they're young. Yeah. I know who Mike Singletary is. And I don't give a fuck what Mike Singletary had to tell me. And I got, like, 8 years on all them niggas on that team. Like, yeah. I think I'm older than everybody on that team except for DeMar. DeMar might have a couple months over me. I might be older than DeMar. With point being.
I mean, he definitely our age.
Yeah, DeMar our age. But I'm, like, 6-7 years older than Zach. Them young niggas don't give a fuck. And that's also my theory on why the Bears need to win a Super Bowl. So we can stop dragging the 85 Bears out to fucking everything.
I mean, they ain't got to win shit. Just stop bringing them anyway. Like, it's
over. Yeah, but you know how
it's 40. Be. It's been 40 damn years.
But you know how the Bears are, man. Legacy. All that bullshit. Anyway, that's all we got to say about the Bulls. Of course, me and Mariano will go more in depth on them this week when we have our episode of Third Pick. But last topic before we get into our power rankings, man, let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, man.
Going crazy.
I was getting ready for that T-Wolves Clippers playing game, but that might not be the case right now because the fucking T-Wolves are right now, they are the 6th seed. They've won 4 in a row. They've won 9 out of their last 10. Cat had 60 points last week. They got a real nice young big 3. I feel like for the first time, Minnesota is building something nice. You know what I'm saying? You got Cat. You got Anthony Edwards, who I think has potential to be the best player in the league. And I really love what D'Angelo Russell has been doing. I feel like D'Lo has finally found a home. My question is, what do you feel about this whole T-Wolves year? I kind of feel like it's going under the radar. And can they scare somebody if they're able to get in like a 7-game series?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose, but they'll be exciting. They'll be, right. You know, young teams always find a way to lose in the playoffs. But they'll be an exciting, dangerous team, a team that pushes a team to 6 or 7 games. But I think really more than anything, seeing Karl Anthony Towns, I don't want to say come of age, but really, you know, being the head hog on this team, you know, Anthony Edwards is the superstar in training, but, you know, Cat averaging 24 and basically 24 and 10.
Cat be getting his dunking on, man. You don't know how much he's getting off till you look at the box score.
Yeah, you look at the box score and he quietly has a double-double on you. Yeah. So, you know, he's really been hooping. And like you said, Anthony Edwards is a superstar in the making. And, you know, for so long, Minnesota has been one of those teams that's always in limbo, always in the lottery. But you're really starting to see just something positive. I know. Didn't Bruce Hill the team to A-Rod?
A-Rod he doesn't take over as official owner until next season. But, of course, he's got owner credentials because he'd be at every fucking game. Yeah. So, you know, he'd be – A-Rod lives a funny life. A-Rod's one of my favorite Instagram followers. Like,
yeah,
A-Rod look like he fully don't care that he's not making the Hall of Fame. He's like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was down to the dumps when J-Lo left him, but then he realized, look, I'm Alex Rodriguez. Like, you know, life is pretty fucking good.
Life gets better.
You know, like, I can get me another J-Lo. You know what did Jay say? Make another hole? Like,
yeah, he can build one if he want to.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout to Ben Affleck. But you ain't A-Rod, my nigga. If I was A-Rod, I'd be pretty good. I think A-Rod's still getting paid by the Rangers, low key.
Yeah, I mean, she left you for an alcoholic, but
she left me. And this is the thing about that though. I've seen, you know, how you show them courtside games. I really hope this works out for Ben because he looked like he gonna go on another bender if she decided to change her mind in like 8 months, which is what she likes to do. This is what she likes to do. You know what I'm saying? Which is fine. Yeah. You know, live your life, but you know.
We're gonna get a great 2 or 3 movies out of that.
Right. He's gonna be like, I'm back. I wanna be Batman again and beat some niggas up. But with the Wolves, I love what they're building. And like you said, I don't think of course they'll challenge anybody in the playoffs, but they can definitely be like, okay, this series was a little longer than we needed to be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think any type of experience for them would be cool.
Bev out there doing this thing.
I love Bev, man. And maybe just because I'm a Chicago nigga, but Bev's one of my favorite players. I hate when people be like, Bev don't. People really let Russell Westbrook trick niggas about.
Yep, he the one that tricked. Yeah, he tricked them about Pat. Absolutely.
Like, you know, that's one of the things. Like, people, I've had conversations with people who really thinks he can't play basketball, and I'm like, what the fuck do y'all be watching? You know what I'm saying? Like, any championship team, any team love to have Pat Bev. I love to have Pat Bev on the Bulls. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they maybe because we saw him dropping 40, 50.
And that's
in
another
high
thing.
Like,
oh, he can't score, nigga. This nigga used to be one of the best scorers in Chicago public schools, nigga. I seen this nigga hoop him and D Rose.
And like I was saying, CPS is better than some of y'all's entire states. So not even a question. And like you talk, I mean, let's talk. And not only that, Pat Bev was one of those people with a crazy ass story. Like, bought himself out of his contract on some Floyd Mayweather shit.
Yep.
Came back, tried out for the G League, made it to the league. Now he didn't made about, I think let's say he made like $70 million.
He made a nice
like
amount
that.
Of change.
Man, shout
he
out
made
to
made nice in the change. That contract he got from the club was pretty fucking good. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to him.
West Side legend, man. I definitely fuck with Pat Bev. But yeah, the T-Wolves, they got something to build. And I feel like for a while, we looked at Minnesota the same way we look at Sacramento. And another reason why I said I didn't think that Tyrese Halliburton made any type of sense. The Kings are still ass. And actually, the Pacers have won more games since the trade than the Kings have. So we used to look at Minnesota as the same way as we look at Sacramento, as it's just being a black hole and you need to get young talent out of it. You see Wiggins left, he thrived. We see Zach left, and Zach is becoming a franchise guy. Yep. And we were like, we got to get Cat out of there. But Cat is finally building around him. Now, you said Cat is leader right now, and I do agree. I think, of course, in a couple of years, it's going to be, without a doubt, it's going to be.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, 1,000% is going to be Ant.
100%. And I think D'Lo has finally found a home. I always liked D'Angelo Russell. I feel like D'Lo had, you know, the baby Lakers, a lot of them baby Lakers, as I like to call them, had so much pressure on them. And outside of Julius Randle, I feel like they've all, you know, gotten to where we thought they were going to be. Brandon Ingram was one of the best guys in basketball. We just did the fucking Pelicans.
Yeah, he's stuck in New Orleans.
He's stuck in New Orleans, but he's getting D'Lo's finally getting a spot. You know, Julius Randle had a little moment, but we found out he's a black hole. But contract year. But they finally got something building, and you got ownership. Like when A-Rod officially becomes the owner, he gives a fuck. He's a former player. He wants to win. I think it's going to help. Mm. And so I always feel like, you know, one of the comments that Jay Cross said, of course, Michael Jordan didn't like, was front offices win championships. I think the way he said it to Mike and them was disrespectful, and the way he said it, like, even if you look at interviews when they won the championship, he didn't really give any players any love. So I understand why Michael was upset about that, but in theory, he's not wrong. You can't win the championships without a good front office. And so yeah. I think that's one of the biggest thing for that with the T-Wolves are building. I think they actually got a plan for one. So if you're a T-Wolf fan, you actually got fun, something to be excited about for the first time, I think, since KG's left. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about that, man. But let's wrap this up with our weekly power rankings, man. I'm going to go with mine first. Number five, I'm going to go with the Memphis Grizzlies, man. The Grizzlies right now are the number two seed in the West. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They got a game and a half up on the Golden State Warriors, man. I think they've I'm going to bet on them to hold on to that, you know, especially with the Steph Curry injury. I think they'll get that. I'm still not as high on them when the playoffs come. I do think that, you know, they're one of those teams that are really, really good in the regular season. But when people have a whole seven-game series to game plan on, you know, how we can take Ja away, what are the other players going to do? So that's going to be a problem, I think, when the playoffs start. But as far as just weekly, I put the number five. They've been playing pretty good ball. And for them to get number two seed, I think it'd be great because nobody saw that coming into this year. Number four, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics. Celtics pretty much right now firmly in that four seed. I think right now they need to be thinking about a three seed. And they're like a percentage points behind Philly right now. So they have an opportunity to be up there. They're 8-2 in their last 10, 1-3 in a row. They blew out Golden State last week. Had another blowout win this past weekend against Sacramento. They're doing pretty good. Shout out to Atlanta Fire Department.
Yeah, they think it's all wilding, bro. Like,
yeah, I live on the street where, you know, you can hear the ghetto bird every now and then too. But so that's my thing on the Celtics. The Celtics are really, like, they've been one of the best teams post All-Star break, to where they were flirting with the play-in before that. And now they got a good chance.
And they took off. Yeah.
They got a good chance to be a three seed, man. So I'm gonna put them at number four. Number three, a team I don't think people talk about, they need to, because I've been saying this on this podcast for months. The Milwaukee Bucks are the number two seed right now. They just got Brooke Lopez got back. They got George Hill back. 8-2 in their last 10. Of course, they lost their last game to Minnesota, but Giannis did not play that game, so we can take that off. They're getting in the championship form. What I always said is when you're a champion, you don't care about the regular season. When it's about 30 games left, you're like, okay, it's go time. Let's get ready. They're getting in go time. Their big three is hooping. Chris Middleton's doing his thing. Jrue Holiday is doing his thing. And I don't think they're ready to give up that ship yet. Everybody keep talking about the Phoenix and the Golden States and the Miamis and Brooklyn. Niggas need to put some respect on the world champions, man. Like, you know, we can sit up here and talk about what they would have did, what they didn't do. You still got to take the title from them. And I still believe they had the best player in basketball. And I love Kevin Durant, but what separates KD and Giannis to me right now is defense. Because of KD's injury, KD can't be the defender that he used to be. But I love what Milwaukee's doing, man. So I'm going to put Milwaukee at number three right now on my power rankings. Number two, I'm keeping that well-oiled machine of Phoenix Suns. They are still 8-2 in their last 10. This is without Chris Paul. They're without Cam Johnson right now. They've won five in a row. Devin Booker's been really, really big in these games. They're going to win over 60 games, man. And I think they're just ready for the playoffs March to start. So I'm going to go with Phoenix at number two. And number one is going to be the team who we just got done talking about, Minnesota Timberwolves, man. They're on fire, 9-1 in their last 10. They have won four in a row. They're clicking it on all standards right now, and I really think they're a real exciting team to watch. And, you know, right now they're in that playoff bracket. They're not just in the play-in, so that's going to be something to watch over the next couple weeks. So that's my top five.
Yeah, my five, I got some of the same teams. I actually got four of the same teams. My number five team is the Miami Heat.
Okay.
I think, you know, Miami Heat still holding on to that number one spot. It's going to come in handy for them when they do finally come all the way together. I got them at the five spot. I got the Bucks at four. I got Boston at three. I got Phoenix at number two. And I also have the T-Wolves at number one this week. You know, they've really been going crazy. And so, like you said, for them to crawl out of that play-in into a secure playoff spot. And I think they're going to keep playing this way. So that's going to be a team that's going to be rolling going into the playoffs, and that's always dangerous. So
yes, definitely, definitely, man. So all we got for y'all today, man, episode 155, man. While we'll be saying we will be doing post-game shows after the playoffs on nights that the Bulls aren't in the playoff don't have a game. Me and Dante, and if there's nights that Dante can't make it, it'll be somebody to fill in for him. It's going to be streamed on our YouTube and through Twitter. So you don't have to be a Patreon subscriber to check out our post-game show, Balled On Live Post-Game. We're going to start with the playoff start. We're going to be rocking with y'all. We're going to have some guests. It's going to be fun. So just follow the Twitter at Barbers Chetnet. Subscribe to our YouTube.com/Barbers Chetnet. Of course, I'll tweet it out once we get closer to it so y'all know where to watch the post game. And me and Mariano will be doing the same thing on the Bulls side, depending how long their playoff thing lasts. Now, Mariano has gone on record and said if the Bulls are in the play-in, he will not be doing a post game for the play-in. So, nice. Which I agree with him on that. So if and when the Bulls get in the top six, we're going to have post-game live shows for that as well, man. But as usual, you know to follow us at Barbershed Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. $5 Summer Sessions Package, $5 79th and Howlett's Package, $10 All Access. We'll holler at you niggas next week, man. We are out.